Ciao. Hello, respected viewers. I'm George Myland, so welcome back to the channel once again. And in this video, I'm going to talk about how the Russian Federation, they downed a US military drone yesterday over the Black Sea in international airspace, also looking at the interplay between US domestic politics and the Ukraine war. So anyway, the US military operates what was it called, an MQ-9, this sort of drone, and as an unarmed aerial vehicle, as an aviation vehicle, over the Black Sea, really to gather all the data it can about the battlefield and relaying that information to the Ukrainians to say, these are the Russians' positions, these are what assets they have, this is where they're moving, and so on, and to help the Ukrainians with targeting the Russians. Now, Washington, D.C. is not asinine to say, yeah, that's what we're doing, but any informed person will tell you that's what they are doing. They say they don't actually help with targeting. Well, why they take such an interest in Russian troop movements then? Anyway, so it was international airspace. Even the Kremlin doesn't dispute that one. And there are regular intercepts from Russian military aircraft. I mean, presumably, if there were Russian drones in international airspace close to the United States, the U.S. Air Force would also intercept them, which doesn't mean destroy them, but shatter them, often has a dissuasive effect on them. They turn back, they don't come too close to the airspace of whatever the nearby country is. But in this case, they're filmed pouring fuel on the drone anyway, and it seems, though the Americans claim it's unprofessional, I mean, I don't know anything about aviation, but according to the Pentagon, the wing of one of these Russian aircraft, it clipped the edge of the drone, which twisted the propeller or something like that, or somehow damaged it, making it impossible to operate. So the Americans chose to bring it down themselves rather than have it spin out of control and perhaps fall into Russian hands more easily. Anyway, it crashed in the sea, and both sides are racing to recover it because for the Ruskies, it'd be very useful to study one of these. I'm not sure they've ever had one. They might be able to reverse engineer it or be able to build better drones themselves and so on. These American drones are expensive. They're tens of millions of dollars, something like $30 million. It's a surprise how expensive they are. Bayraktar drones, the Turkish ones, are about the cheapest there are. They're about $5 million. And remember, these American drones, they can be used as predator drones, firing Hellfire missiles, which can destroy a lot. And tanks, weaker bunkers, not reinforced bunkers, and so on. So anyway, they can be used on the battlefield, and indeed they are. I'm not sure that the Ukrainians have any drones that expensive or that sophisticated. So there's not been too much denial from the Russians saying, oh, we didn't do anything wrong. But they do agree that there was an incident between them, American drones, the Russian Air Force, and Nikolai Patrushev, the head of the National Security Council. He's a real dimwit. You can just tell he is by his physiognomy, like, and he's also born in St. Petersburg, a year older than Putin. One of those people that they thought might take over from Putin if he suddenly died or something like that, and probably be worse. I mean, less effective, but maybe even more aggressive. So what's the next thing? And the pushback in the United States has actually been rather restrained. And I'm surprised some Republicans aren't saying that Biden is feeble, or indeed some people on his own side, the Democratic Party. So you'd think that they would do something, because this is escalatory for the Russians. They'd attempted to bring down the American drone. It was in international airspace, where the United States is absolutely legally entitled to operate these drones. And the Russians are talking about declaring that a no-fly zone. No, you legally can't do that. Imagine the United States declaring a no-fly zone in international airspace somewhere else and saying, the Russians, you can't fly your military aircraft there. Anyway, so now also the Americans have got footage of this. I suppose the Kremlin might claim that it's hoaxed. But what's the next step? So Ron DeSantis, the current governor of Florida, he was saying the other day that there's a territorial dispute between Ukraine and Russia. He didn't claim whether there's real disputability there, but he is technically correct. Russia claims that some of Ukraine belongs to Russia, which is a lie. Every inch of Ukraine belongs to Ukraine. None of it belongs to Russia whatsoever. Russia has no right whatsoever over any portion of Ukraine. Ukraine doesn't claim any right over any section of Russia. But right, it's not the first territorial dispute in the world, and it shan't be the last. And if the borders do turn to change through force, it won't be the first time, and doubtless it won't be the last time. So saying, you know, we shouldn't be so deeply involved. All right, that's one view, the kind of isolationist view. Someone was saying to me, Ronald Reagan will be turning in his grave to think that you would want to appease Moscow like that. How lily-livered of you. Now, the Ukrainians need to worry, because, of course, if Trump wins the November 2024 election, or Ron DeSantis wins it for the Republicans, then he, either one of them, will be inaugurated in January 2025. And that would almost certainly lead to a significant reduction in U.S. military aid for Ukraine. So about 80% of Ukraine's military aid comes from Ukraine. And Americans are right to be exasperated that European countries simply do not give enough military aid. As a proportion of GDP, it's countries like Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, Poland, they give the most because they realize they're next in the firing line. They'll be the next victims if Russia gets away with this war of unprovoked and illegal aggression. The United Kingdom gives quite a lot, but not as much as the United States, even proportionally. You know, France gives a little bit. Germany gives a tiny, tiny proportion of its GDP in military aid. So got to hand it to those other former states, because the Soviet states, they know how horrific it is to be oppressed by the Kremlin. And so they don't want to feel its jackboot on their throat. And that's why they have so much fellow feeling for the Ukrainians who are battling for their liberty, for their very existence. So I suppose Putin calculates if he can just string it out by 22 months and there'll be a more malleable figure in the White House. Trump is very easy to manipulate, a dimwit, someone who's invertebrate, or someone who just takes a different foreign policy view. Okay, it's maybe quite a cynical view, quite a cold-blooded view, but there's a certain logic, there's plausibility to it. It's a respectable argument to be isolationist, say it doesn't really affect us. But that argument is less viable now that Russia has deliberately brought down a U.S. military drone in international airspace. That is an attack on the United States. The United States was not doing anything against Russia. Okay, they must have been committing espionage, but Russia will do the same. They all do this to each other. And what Russia did was definitely unlawful, a hostile act against Russia, against the United States in peacetime. So they should put that. Are you going to roll over? Are you going to take this lying down? We've got to riposte. And say, well, we're going to raise our level of assistance, provide them whether the TACMs or even the HIMAR rockets, given the longer range sort of rockets to the Ukrainians or something like that. But so far, that's not happening. Even on the Democrat side, there were a handful of politicians who say, well, we should reduce aid. We should try and dial it down because we don't want to raise tensions. We're worried of thermonuclear war and so forth. But that's actually not happening on the left very much. Fascinating poll came out in the United States the other day. 69% of Americans have a positive view of Ukraine, up considered from before the war. Only 9% of Americans have a favorable view of Russia, which is its lowest since the breakup of the Soviet Union. Well, I'm not surprised. But, you know, about 30% of Americans think the United States should reduce military aid to Ukraine or cut it off altogether. Now, that has grown since the war began, and I predict will grow still further. They're mostly people who are Republican inclined. So that looks like to be a fault line. So Kiev better pray that the Democrats win. So far, it's been mostly bipartisan. There is a small but growing caucus of Republican congressmen who are voting against this military aid for Ukraine. Right, thank you so much for watching my channel. Toodaloo.